So, can you open with me Genesis 11? This just a short reflection that's been really, really helpful to work in this type of context. And I had an image to go to because I think it illustrates the point that I'm going to make. In our days, people usually give names because they like names. That's the way it goes. But actually in biblical times, people would name accordingly to situations and characteristics. And I think the most similar context to that in our days is when people actually give you a nickname. And sometimes nicknames are very funny. Sometimes they're not funny at all. They're like just bullying. But, you know, nicknames usually sum up one of your characteristics. And the Bible text that we are looking today, it's actually telling us about these ancient people that were searching for a name for themselves. And Genesis 11 starts the whole thing. Verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And this is creating this scenario. It's telling us that people were united, that people were communicating at ease, and that everyone understood. That's great. Not going through all that effort to learn a different language. See? So that's it. Verse 2. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. The land of Shinar was a very well-known place in ancient times. It was where great cities like Nineveh were built. It was where the great empire of Babylon emerged. So it's very well-known in ancient times, this area. And they had a great idea. Look, verse 3. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And I think that you have a great picture of what these people are like. They think big. And they are planning together new materials, new techniques, very innovative in their context. And they are cooperating in a great spirit of teamwork, great enthusiasm, great motivation. Soon you can think partnerships, and they have projects. And in verse 4 they say, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower. Till this very moment, it's a true spirit of investment. And we could say, till this very moment, it sounds fairly okay. Because if we read the first chapters in Genesis, it is God's command to rule, administrate, to expand, to bear fruit, to multiply. But then the text explains their motivations. They say, let's build ourselves a city and the tower, whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So we can now see their plans. They plan to build this great city that will actually be a gathering place for these great ideas. They want to build a tower, which will be a monument for all to see, because they will be the first one to reach the heavens. And in that ancient mentality, to reach the heavens is to reach the house of the gods. And when they want to build this tower with its top there, is to actually conquer them, be like gods. That's what they want. And they have that type of mentality. If we build this tower, we shall be known. We'll make a name for ourselves. And they want to do all of this with no God. With no God. If you remember the context just a few chapters before, God had commanded Noah to fill the earth, multiply. But these people, very illuminated, they chose together and not scatter. So they are with better purposes for humanity. So they think. They are united, they are stronger, and they think they can be a community of autonomous people that will defy everyone and even the gods above. That's their type of mentality. Verse 5 has a shift because it's God. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And there, I think it's the first irony of the text. Because God had to come down because the tower wasn't that big. You know? And I think it just shows how it's very typical for humans to exaggerate a bit. Oh, great tower. But God had to come down. But one good thing about it is that God wasn't reactive. He didn't destroy the tower with lightning and thunders, making a great spectacle of it. He came more as an inspector, analyzing the buildings. He came looking at these people, asked them, what should we call them after all? What should we call them? Are they the first men to do this? Well, no, because they are sons of humanity, as you see. That's how he called them. Sons of humanity, which means sons of Adam, sinners, arrogant and vain. Are they very powerful? Well, they're a group of rebels. They are not scattering. Are they conquerors of gods? Well, they are usurpers because they want to take the place of God. And they are fools because they're trying it. Are they a threat? Are they to be feared? Verse 6. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one and they have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. And these people think they have everything worked out. And God has a strategy in mind that if God removes that piece, everything collapses. And so God says this strategy in verse 7. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And once again, divine irony. Why? Because twice these people have spoken. And they said first, come, let us do new materials. Second time, come, let us build a city and a tower. And God uses exactly the same language. Come. Exactly the same word. Come, let us confuse them. And I think it just shows that people speak too much. They spoke twice with great enthusiasm, great motivation. And they thought they had it all. And they could do whatever at any cost. And they would just pass unnoticed with great impunity. And God only spoke once. And when God spoke, it was deliberately. He acted with power and there was no resistance to it. So verse 8 shows the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of all the earth and they ceased building the city. Because God removed this, that central piece, everything collapsed. And you know, no one could ever predicted that there would be a supernatural cause effect. No one could predict that God would actually do something. And that happened to be the biggest flaw in the whole project. Because, see, in God's strategy, with no communication, of course, no understanding. If I was starting to speak Portuguese, that's it. No understanding. If no understanding, then these people were forced to actually break teamwork, partnerships, purposes, plans, and of course the results. It just didn't work. So in the end, God's will actually prevailed. And everyone was forced to actually scatter across the earth, just like God had first commanded. And the conclusion to all of this is in verse 9, when it says, therefore its name is called Babel. Because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And this is the third irony of the text. Because these people wanted to make a name for themselves, and the only name they actually received was a name that no one wanted, which is a Hebrew wordplay, Babel. Babel actually sounds like confusion. And they were named the confused ones. And so, I think the text is saying us something really important. We always need good planning. We always need crucial enthusiasm and motivation. Because without it, there is no good administration. There is no strength to keep up and persevere. But the text is showing that motivations have to be weighted and they have to be tested. Because there is evil that corrupts good, even amongst churches and leaders. There is evil that corrupts good. So we have to balance our motivations, why we do what we do. And the text, in the end, is showing us two important things. First of all, the nature of God itself. And second, our human nature. Because God shows up as being sovereign overall. He is free to act with power. He is not chaotic or random or even reactive. He acts deliberately, and he does it with strategy, plans of his own, at the right time, for good. That is God. That's why we trust him. Humans, us, we are receiving this heritage of Babel, which is corrupted. Because we know that everyone would like to be named autonomous, powerful, fame, sufficient, rich, and many other names that we would like to have. That is us. Our human tendency will always be to come together with our own interests, with forged alliances. But, as people of God, I believe that we must be united for the cause of the gospel. The greater good. We are a family with a mission, after all. Our human tendency is to trust the efforts of our own hands. You see, our knowledge, our gadgets, our own strength. As people of God, we should be using our gifts, our jobs, our resources, to serve God and serve others. Because once again, human tendency is to blindly desire fame, power and money at any cost. Corruption is everywhere. People of God, we should be seeking Jesus' fame and seek the power of His kingdom. So, as an end, I don't think we have to live by the name of Babel, the confused ones. I think trusting in Jesus, trusting in God, should then make us live by the name that really matters, and that is the name of Jesus. And we should be doing that in Portugal, here in Britain, wherever God is calling us. We should be living by the name that really matters, that is Jesus. So thank you so much for the opportunity of coming again and meeting you all. And thank you for prayers.